This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
الله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah, Allah has granted us to reach the last 10 nights of Ramadan. One of these nights tonight, until the end, is going to be Laylatul Qadr, the night that is greater than 1,000 months. And whoever captures that night, and Allah grant all of us to capture that night in ibadah, 1,000 months of a lifetime of reward and complete forgiveness of all sins. That's what's up for grabs in the next few nights. So Allah grant us the ability and the strength to accept from us. Ameen. Tonight we sadly conclude with the final chapter of Al-Andalus, the final fall of Granada. So remember, it was stages in which the Reconquista, the Christians were able to reconquer parts and parts of Andalusia. First they conquered Toledo, and then the Morabitun stopped them from going beyond Toledo. Then after the defeat of the Morabitun and the Almohads, they conquered Granada, they conquered Seville and Cordoba. This was in the 1250s. And the last remaining little kingdom was the kingdom of Granada, the extreme south of Al-Andalus. And this kingdom, you know, by the grace of Allah and through certain events, held out for about 200 years. For 200 years, it was the remaining bastion of Islam. There was also the bubonic plague, the Black Death that swept through Europe and which caused a lot of the expansion to stop. So Granada survived up until the end of the 15th century, 1492. 1492, a very, very sad date in our history. This is the fall of Granada. And what is even sadder, what makes it even worse, is that Granada, this kingdom that had so many castles and structures, the most famous of which is the Alhambra castle, which was impenetrable. The Christians could never really capture these kingdoms. The way it fell, once again, civil war. The Crusaders are all around you, and still nephew fighting uncle. And eventually, 1492, the kingdoms of Spain, the Christian kingdoms of Spain, were at the doorstep, and they had no other choice. The Muslims of Granada had no choice but to hand over the keys of Granada. So on January 2nd, 1492, Muhammad the 12th of Granada, his name was King, they called him Bu Abdil, surrendered the Emirate of Granada, the city of Granada, and the Alhambra castle. This is perhaps the most amazing palace, one of the most amazing palaces that was built in Europe. It's still there today. It's a tourist destination, and it was handed over to Queen Isabella, the Queen of Spain. And the terms of the agreement was the whole city is Muslim, and there are still hundreds of thousands of Muslims throughout Spain, that we will hand the city over on condition you do not stop us from practicing Islam. Those who want to leave may leave freely. Those who want to stay may continue to be Muslims. The mosques will remain. The madrasas will remain. You won't force us to convert to Christianity. They agreed to this. The Castilians, Queen Isabella, agreed to this. They did not agree for that for the Jews. When they took over, they said to the Jews, you either convert or die. And so 1492, all the Jews of Andalusia left, and they came to North Africa or the Ottoman lands. Many of the Jews in Israel, where did they come from? North Africa. How did they get there? They were expelled from Andalus. The Muslims, of course, had a type of protection, but this didn't last very long, because a new pope or a new archbishop came, and he forcefully tried to convert many of the Muslims. He banned the reciting of the Quran. They closed masajid. They didn't allow them to teach their kids Islam. And so after a few years, the Muslims rose up and rebelled and said, you're not following the treaty. And this rebellion was crushed severely. And within 5 years, Islam was banned. And they gave the Muslims in 1492 was when Granada fell. 1501, 10 years later, the treaty is cancelled. And they say to all the Muslims, you have the same option like the Jews now. Convert, leave, or die. Those are your three choices. You become Christian, or you leave Andalus, you leave Spain, or you die. We execute you. And subhanAllah, It's mentioned that more than 1 million Muslims left Al-Andalus over the time period. It was a type of genocide, Muslims left. But the majority couldn't leave. In fact, leaving was almost impossible for many of the Muslims. And so, and this is the reality, the bulk of the Andalusian Muslims converted to Christianity. They converted to Christianity and they were given a special a name called the Moriscos. Moriscos means small, the Moors is what they called the Muslims, the Moors. And Morisco is a small Moor, like a former Muslim. And the reality is everybody knew, the authorities knew, that they are only converting in name, but they are still Muslim at home. At home, they are still practicing their Islam. In public, we are Christian. We change our names. We wear Christian attire. But at home, we practice Islam. And the Muslims wrote to the Grand Mufti of North Africa to say, we can't leave. And we are being forced, we are being persecuted, what can we do? And he wrote a famous fatwa, the fatwa of Wahran, the Oran fatwa, where he basically said, whatever you need to do to survive, if they force you to go to church, go to church. If they force you to eat pork, eat pork. If they force you to break your fast in Ramadan, do that. But when you're alone, as best you can, make your salah, and your heart must be attached to Allah. And so for secretly, these were crypto Muslims, can you imagine this? Secretly, they're trying to preserve their Islam. They're trying to keep their Islam alive, but outwardly they're being forced. And that's where the Spanish Inquisition comes. What do you mean the Spanish Inquisition? They're testing. Testing you for what? Are you really a Christian? Ramadan time, all the converts who became, all the Moriscos, you need to eat during the day so we can see you. Every Morisco, you have to have pork in your house. If you took a bath on Friday, your name is written down. Why are you so into bathing and cleaning 5 times a day? One of the worst kind of tests they would do is you had to publicly insult the Prophet ﷺ, insult the Quran, to prove that you were a Christian. And this of course became, and many Muslims of course could not survive under this. Some of them left, some of them remained. And in this rule, there were some regions of Spain that was a little more lenient, like Valencia, but then they also adopted this policy. So 1567, the King Philip of Spain gave Muslims, all Muslims, those in Andalus, you either convert to Christianity or you die, or you leave, and you're not allowed to have an Arabic name. You're not allowed to even speak Arabic. You're not allowed to have an Arabic book. Your children, any child of a Morisco, has to be enrolled and be taught by a priest. You cannot go to any other school except the Catholic school, your kids. They have to be baptized. And so this continues on for another 50 years. Muslims living secretly their Islam, trying to maintain what they can. Of course, some embraced Christianity and were Christians. But even so, the church was not happy because they realized that no matter how much you force a people, if their heart is not going to convert, you're not going to get Islam out of them. And so 1609, so that's like 100 years after the fall of Granada, they passed a rule, all the Moriscos, all of you need to leave. All of you Moriscos, even those who embrace Christianity faithfully, said we can't trust you, you might be a threat to us. And hundreds of thousands of Muslims who were hidden Muslims, or those who embrace Christianity, they were forced to leave. But many Christians were not happy with this. They said, how can you allow their children to leave? So they decided, the parents must go and the children remain behind. They separated between the parents of the Muslims and the kids. They said, you parents, you go, these kids are pure. They've been baptized, they've been learned Christianity, and they were taken and confiscated, and hundreds of thousands of Muslims had to leave their kids behind, and they were forced into exiled, and they were forced into expelled, to most of them into North Africa. Such a sad moment. And that is basically the 16th century, or the 1600s is the end of the Moriscos. But even up to 100 years later, you still found one or two people being tried as being secret Muslims. People obviously try to survive and keep their deen together. Till today, they find when they renovate houses, they'll find in the houses there are certain hidden rooms where they find kitabs, tasbihs, abayas, people still trying their best to keep Islam alive as best they can, trying to fight for that little bit of deen. But of course, this, under the pressure of this kind of weight, eventually Islam becomes extinct in Al-Andalus, a place where for 900 years Islam flourished. Islam, one of the beacons of civilization. Our input in Al-Andalus, into Spain, made it a global superpower. We'll talk about how Spain now becomes the most powerful nation in the world off the backs of our technology. And then sadly, Islam completely disappeared. It's only recently, like a few years ago, that the first masjid was rebuilt in Granada. Only now, people of course returning to Spain, and people themselves embracing Islam, subhanAllah. Alhamdulillah, at least the architecture remained. Even out of their hatred for Islam, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to tear down the architecture. And so you still see the remnants of Al-Andalus in Spain. Some interesting people that is worth mentioning. There's a lady, the last queen of Islam, Sayyida al-Hurra. She was from Granada. She was from so many of the nobles who had money, they left, of course. They took their positions and they left. And she was of those nobles who her parents were noble. They left Granada in 1492 and they ended up in Morocco. And from Morocco, she and her husband established a little town called Tetouan. It's a UNESCO heritage site. So it's like a refugee town. So they said, all the refugees come, and those who have been expelled from Al-Andalus, you can live and we will look after you here. Also, by the way, think about this. The Muslims in Al-Andalus, they've been writing to all the Amirs, the Mamluks in Egypt, the Khalifa or the Ottoman Caliph Sultan in Constantinople, help us, save us. Nobody really came to the aid. One or two would give a ship, some aid, some trucks, but no one is willing to send a soldier. No one is ready to do anything. One of the only people that did something active was a pirate called Barbarossa. We'll talk about him now. The pirate, Barbarossa means red beard. You know, in many pirate movies, there's pirate Barbarossa. So after this guy, he was like the scourge of the Mediterranean. And he did his best to smuggle Muslims out of Spain and give them a safe passage to North Africa. And so this lady, Sayyida al-Hurra, so she and her husband establishes the city. It's a refugee city in Morocco. And she made it her life's mission to disrupt and to fight back against the Spanish. And so she joins up with these pirates, Barbarossa, got trained by him. And she and an elite group of the Spanish Muslims who fled, they almost form a pirate fleet. And they would do everything they can to disrupt the Spanish Armada. And they do significant damage to the Spanish lines, to the point where the Mediterranean remains, you know, they can't really control the Mediterranean. And that's why you'd find many of their voyages were not in the Mediterranean. It was across other parts of the world, the Portuguese and the Spanish, the Age of Discovery. So this is all linked into each other. And so, mashallah, so at least, you know, that spirit of fighting back remained. And she continued to be the Amira. So she's a pirate by day and a queen by night, ruling her city. And you know, what's also just interesting to note, her husband eventually dies. When her husband died, the king of Morocco proposed to her. And he, because she met him when she was quite young, she went to the king and she convinced him, give us a town. I mean, you go to a king and say, give me a piece of a land, let it be independent. And he was so taken back by her that he said, no problem. And he never forgot her. He continued to propose to her. And she said, I will never leave my city. And eventually he conceded. He said, fine. I'll marry you and I will relocate to Tetouan. It's the only Moroccan king who left the capital of Morocco to marry this lady, and they you know, established the city, and until today it still stands there. And so very sad history of the fall of Al-Andalus. And as we said, what's interesting though, if you link, now you link up, this is now two worlds. You know, you see two worlds you know, developing differently. The Muslim world is on a decline and you see the European powers ascending. 1492, remember that date. That is the date that Granada falls. 1492 is also the date that Christopher Columbus discovers America. 1492, Christopher Columbus discovers America. If you go to Alhambra, you'll see a statue of Christopher Columbus. And they'll tell you, this is where Christopher Columbus was standing when the Amir of Granada gave the keys of Alhambra to Queen Isabella. They said, what's Christopher Columbus, the American guy, he's actually Italian, what's he doing there? How are these two linked, these two stories? Christopher Columbus was an explorer, and he believed that if he sails west, he's going to get to India. And he believed that that if you go all the way through the Atlantic Ocean, you'll get to India. And no one trusted him. Nobody was going to finance this expedition. And he's begging the Queen and King of Spain, give me the opportunity to do this. And together, we will civilize the world. From like you have done to these Moors here in Al-Andalus. He writes to them in his diary. As you had forced Christianity upon them, allow me to do this and discover new lands, and we'll force the heathens and the uncivilized people. They couldn't afford this voyage until they opened the treasury of Granada. When they opened the treasury of Granada, Granada was the wealthiest state in Spain. And he was able to get his ships from her, from the Queen Isabella. And through that, America, South America, and the Spanish Empire begins. They're able now to send their ships around the world, the Portuguese and the Spanish, and they are to discover the Age of Discovery. The colonial age begins, really, you could say, with the fall of Granada. That technology and that wealth that they took from the Andalusians would be the foundation of the Spanish Empire, which is the first colonial power. Very interesting as well. If you go to So, as I said, Christopher Columbus spent a number of months in Spain trying to get the finances, but also he tried his best to plan how is he going to do this voyage. The place in which he's sitting and doing his work and mapping out his charts is called La Rabida. It's a Rabita. It was a masjid. It's a monastery now. So he's sitting in a masjid and he's planning how he's going to voyage to the west. And from there, of course, as we said, the rest is history. And subhanAllah, it's very sad, but also it shows you our legacy. And I also want to take this point. Muslims conquered many lands, as I said this before. When we have conquered lands, look at what Christianity is still alive and well in the Middle East, in Egypt, in Palestine. The churches that were there before Islam, they're still there, they're fine. We ruled India, we're going to talk about India for 1,000 years. The Hindus are still the majority. But whenever these foreign powers have come, not a single Muslim remains in Al-Andalus. When they conquered Jerusalem, a genocide. Currently what's happening is a genocide. We can be very proud of our history. And we should never forget what we had achieved. So may Allah grant that we learn from these lessons. And what a great legacy, the chapter, very sad, but a great legacy of Al-Andalus. We close that page, inshallah. We continue tomorrow, and we'll talk about the gunpowder empires, a new age for the gunpowder empires, inshallah. Yesterday's question, we asked which madhab did Ibn Taymiyyah belong to. He of course was a Hanbali scholar. And we have Yasin Jassim. Yasin? Yeah, okay. And Lutfia? Sister Lutfia? Is Sister Lutfia here?
No, she's
late. Oh, okay. Auntie Fatima Sali. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair. Tonight's question. Which term was used to identify Muslims who converted to Christianity? What was that term that is used? And then just a reminder that inshallah at 20 past 10, we would have a Eitraka'a Qiyamul Layl, bi'ibnillah. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.